just really nice everybody being there for her, and it's a great time. Great to see Martin turn another year older yesterday as well. I had a little birthday soiree, I did a bit of karaoke. It's been a busy weekend, Carl, I tell you. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing for you today. Don't worry, we're just going to read the scripture. Let's go to Matthew 25. The title of the sermon today is The Sheep and the Goats. A classic, if not, saying, other than just a Bible passage, people, you talk about the sheep and the goats, you know, everybody knows this phrase. It's very familiar to people. A separation, a time of separation. And it's really a passage about judgment. I'm going to try and see what we can draw out of it today. And Matthew 25, starting verse 31. Thanks, Joe. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Now, if I say that a lot today, guys, and you're one side, it's nothing to do with the position of the seats, all right? And it's nothing to do with right-handed or left-handed. Don't want left-handed people feeling like, hold on a minute, all right? It's nothing about that, okay? This is scripture. All right, I hope you're with me on that one. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He'll reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And if we have the next slide. My first point is, Jesus is the fairest of them all. Jesus is the fairest of them all. Before we get into the sheep and the goats, and we're going to dwell on that mainly today, the characteristics of what makes up a sheep and what makes up a goat in Jesus' eyes. We're going to talk about the shepherd. Let's be clear that Jesus is the mighty shepherd. Jesus is the one who rules over all. All authority has been given to him. And it's good to focus on him. And here it says he comes to judge all nations. And it says all nations will be assembled before him. And this means that Jesus often was teaching Jews and his followers and talking to certain groups. Here we're talking about everybody, regardless of race, class, creed, color, whatever. Whatever your background, you will be judged according to his standards. And what are his standards? Well, his standards are the scriptures. His standard is his holy word. But often this is taken of, we can look at this and say, well, you know, the world's view could be, I'm a bit outraged by that concept. I don't like this branding of judgment coming out. What happens if I don't believe in your God? I'm not really a believer in Christianity. Am I still going to be judged by Jesus? I think I might be judged by what I believe in. Because I believe something different. And therefore, if I believe something different, is that not what I'm going to be judged by? And this can be a bit of a concept where a non-believer might argue this. You know, it's okay for you because you believe in that. For me, it's going to be something different. But if we believe in a one true God, we've got to accept that God's judgment is for everybody. And not just those who believe in it. Because You know, we've got to think, well, what would the fairest way of dealing with humanity be? If God made different requirements for different people, that would seem pretty unfair, wouldn't it? You with me on this? If we said, oh, well, this person, well, they're going to get judged on this criteria. This group, they're going to get judged on a different criteria. You know, it doesn't make sense. If God makes one set of requirements for all human beings, then we all have an equal chance. There's no one is better off or worse off. We're born into this world. We all have the same chance to make it to heaven. But I struggle with this. As a non-Christian, as a child, I used to say to my parents, it's not fair. It's not fair. I was middle born of three boys, and maybe the youngest, Theo, he'd get something that I didn't get. Dad, that's just not fair. Oh, I get my clothes from Jack Melder, but it's not fair. I want my own clothes. It's just not fair. And I was given this line, this classic parenting line that I've not used yet, but I know it will come out of my lips very soon with my own children. Life is not fair. Sonny's nodding like he said it 100 times already. And you know what? That's so true. The world is not a fair place. We don't live in a society where we always get what we feel we deserve, or we do right and right comes back to us. It doesn't always happen like that. You know, I'm not going to tell you about my parking ticket. That's another story. But, you know, I felt like that wasn't fair, the way that happened for a parking ticket I got. But in the kingdom, what's great is God is certainly fair with everybody. Anybody had an exam this week? Any teens had exams? Bradley and Tosin, straight up there, GCSEs, they started on Monday. You got an exam every day this week, haven't you? You got some as well? Yeah, Monday and Tuesday. And we're all set up. This is some exam fever going on. All the tables at the side. Don't worry, there's no exams today, guys. But you know, for us sitting the exam, if you were given before the exam an open paper, and the examiner said, you know what, this exam, we're going to give you the essay questions. So you can go away and research them, but you've got to write the answers in the set time, at this time, on this appointed day. Like, would you read it? Would you read it? Absolutely. I mean, Latosin's like, gosh, I wish that was happening this week. You know, absolutely. You wouldn't just go, nah, you know what, I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to turn up and have a go. Your friends would be like, you're mad. They've given us the questions. You're mad. And for us, we've been given the criteria for heaven. We've been given it laid out in black and white and red for some of us. You know, it's there clearly. John 12:47 says, you will be judged by his word. He didn't come to judge the world, but what we will be judged by is the very word he has spoken. That will judge us. But some of us are a bit skeptic. No, there's got to be a catch. There's got to be, he can't have told us everything. An open exam, no, they're going to throw another question in later. Yeah, I don't believe these tricky examiners. That examining board, they're known for being a bit tricky. Guys, with God, there's no tricks. There's no false promises, no hidden tricks, no broken promises, no secret agendas, no kangaroo courts. With God, there's no rigged ballots. There's no misleading information. It's laid out black and white. Jesus never lies. On Judgment Day, he's not going to pull out something else. But have you accepted God's standard in your life? That's the question. Have you accepted this Jesus who is the fairest of them all? In fact, you could argue over fair. You could say, well, actually, for the sins I've committed in my life, there's no way I even deserve this. And what's interesting, he talks about it being an inheritance. He doesn't even say we're going to enter heaven. He says, you're in the family. It's an inheritance. You know, you're not just going to be that old analogy of St. Peter that people give this gate. No. You're inheriting things here. You know, you're one of us, Jesus is saying here. You're in God's family. You know, he's so fair to us, for ultimately, we deserve to die for our sins. There's no way we deserve to inherit the promised land. And I love the fact that he says, it's been preserved for you and set for you from the beginning of time. He knew you'd be here today. He knows each and every one of you. He knows those that are searching. He knows those that have got questions. He knows those that have got sin in their lives. He knows that. But you know what? He also knows from the beginning of time that there's something he's got in store for each and every one of you. But it's up to you. Jesus is the fairest one of them all. Let's go on to the second slide. Are you a serving sheep or a religious goat? Let's get in there. Let's get in there. Let's get down talking a bit of animal, I think it's called taxonomy, if I'm correct with my agricultural term. Now, notice in the scripture, there's no middle ground. There's no like geep or shoats. You know, there's no like, you know, apparently they do breed them occasionally, but they're not very fertile. It's not a good thing. They tried it. It doesn't happen. There is either the right or the left, and that's it. No hybrids. Now, can you flick up to the next one? Here's some characteristics. Okay, I did a bit of research just on the animals themselves, all right? But it correlates. Why Jesus would use these animals, very interesting indeed. So sheep, they herd together. They listen to the shepherd. In fact, they don't like being away from the flock. They get anxious. Anxiety and agitated by being separated from the rest of the flock. They have a very strong flocking instinct. They want to be together. Sound a bit South African, I don't know. Together forever. That's right. We have a South African saying. We used to go to South Africa. That's what we used to say. Goats, on the other hand, and sheep also follow us. Naturally follow the shepherd. The call of the shepherd or the sheepdog, they follow. There's not an obstinance. Off they go. Whatever it is for feeding time or herding time, whatever it is. Goats, on the other hand, are stubborn. They don't want to be herded. They resist being herded. And they've all got things on their heads to help them with that. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. It's not a good thing. And, you know, going to a field of sheep, it's not a big problem. They generally mooch about. Goats, be careful. They're very curious. Now, some of us, I was saying to Marvin and Tosin and myself, we met up for breakfast yesterday, had a good discipling time, talked about disciplines of a godly man chapter. Really great talking openly. And I was sharing, putting this together. Sometimes I always thought, in the past, I thought curiosity was a good thing. And I think as a young person, we're curious, we want to find out. Not necessarily. And I think goats will find things out that maybe they don't want to find out. They'll get out of the pen, they'll move around in ways it's not always good. Very independent. Teenagers, we love that word. I just want my independence. It kind of goes along with freedom. I want my independence. Mandela, freedom, give me freedom. I think because Anku's here, I'm on the South African tip. I don't know why that's coming out, but you know, let me encourage teenagers. Let me tell you one way that parents would love you to be independent. This is a free one. Parents would love you to be financially independent. Okay, that's a free one. You want to be independent, go get a job. All right, that's just out there. That's a winner right there, right? You know, and that's not wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong for teenagers. You're learning to be, that's adulthood, stepping out, that's great. But not being independent from God. Not being independent from people who can help you. Don't act the goat. Free one now. All right? Lastly, they'll eat anything. Goats, literally, socks. I've seen goats eat socks, wood, like bramble bushes. Sheep generally do grass and are these weeds, these special weeds they like to eat. So it's interesting. You know, and God often describes his people as sheep in his pasture. You know, Jesus himself is described as the lamb. Jesus is definitely on the sheep side. You know, sheep listen to their shepherd and follow. They look to him for all their needs and will suffer without him. They know that the shepherd will keep them from harm. And you can go into this more and more. I'm just touching on the surface here. Sheep who please God, do what he says, and look to him for guidance. Goats, talked about it already, stubborn, independent. They resist being told what to do. Even they resist being encouraged in the right and the best and the safest direction. Goats will resist that. And they'll take in almost anything, even garbage. You know, goats who resist God and want to do their own thing are stubborn and end up accepting the lies and garbage of this world. I want to open it up now. What's some of the garbage we can eat as people? What's some of the garbage we can take in as people in life? Say now. False doctrines. Absolutely. Big one. Religious garbage. Anything with the name, when you hear the word Jesus, it's got to be good. Hey, even Satan believes in Jesus. We've got to guard our hearts, people. We can't just be eating up anything. Oh, that all looks good. I'll just chow on that. I'm sure it's fine. You'll get a bellyache. A spiritual bellyache. Amen. Other garbage. TV. Hey, TV. A lot of garbage on TV. Do you choose the programs you want to watch? Or do you just let it feed you? I'll just eat up anything. If there's impurity there, getting earlier and earlier in the evening. Does the watershed even exist now? It doesn't seem to be. You know, children's TV, the presenters don't even look like they should be on TV, on children's TV. You know, do we just accept what comes to us, eat it all up, Mark? Absolutely. Peer pressure. Thinking about what the world dictates. Garbage. Right. Yeah, it's like music. Lyrics that aren't right. Garbage that we can take in. You know, we can eat up anything if we're not focused on Jesus. We can be goat-like in our mentality. You know, just on the religious stuff, it's a big theme. It's a big theme. And that's why I put the question, are you a religious goat? And you think, well, you know, keep harping on about this. You know why? Because Jesus harps on about it. Jesus harps on and on about. Do not just be outward in your appearance. Be in your inner self. That is what counts. You know, and you say, well, I know people, and they're religious, and they've got a great relationship with God. And I don't doubt they might have a relationship with God. But is it a right relationship? We know people who have an immoral relationship physically. They're in a relationship. Is it right with God? No. And we've got to ask our religious friends, are they married to God? Did they get married to Him by repenting of their sin and being baptized? You know, did they consummate their vows with God? Because I'm sure people pray, people read the Bible, people preach the word. But are they in a right relationship with God? You know, the goats in this lesson, they thought they were actually doing God's work. It's very interesting. They thought they were doing it. It was a shock for them. You know, and but they obviously were not listening to what or how He wanted it done. And they were doing it for His own goals, you could argue, not Jesus'. And many of them didn't even see the chance to serve. And Jesus said He didn't even know them. Reminds me of Matthew 7:21. So clearly. Many will say, Lord, Lord. I mean, really, blindly, on judgment day. You're kidding me. I'm not right. You're having a laugh. I'm not right. But I've been going to church every Sunday. I say my prayers on my knees, but on my bed every night. I'm not right. Jesus says, away from me, you evildoers. He blows it out. You know, the goats thought they were saved. And obviously they were living some life of godliness. We don't know what. But not doing what Jesus actually wanted. The difficult thing is that sheep and goats often graze together. And doing a bit of research on this in Jesus' time, Palestinian sheep looked very similar to goats. And you couldn't really, if you looked at a flock or a herd, you couldn't really say which was which. And quite often a shepherd would have to search his flock to separate the sheep from the goats. Jesus said that it's difficult without close inspection to tell a sheep from a goat. Very like Matthew 13 with the wheat and the weeds. You know, when they grow up together and on judgment day similarly, God will divide it. The weeds will be burnt up and the wheat will be saved. You know, it's hard to tell. We've got a lot of youths in our area, sort of, you call them a gang, I don't know, they're grouping up in down near our shops. And it's funny, I came back from work one day, and there's probably 50 of them. 50 of them. I mean, like, and about to kick off. So I get off my bike, pull my mobile out, stop phoning the police. I'm a citizen, I'm going to do that. I'm not, you know, I'm intimidated. I thought if my wife is walking down the road with my son, this is not a good situation. And as I'm making the call, and the plainclothes police pull up straight away. I thought that was quick. No, I didn't even got the call. Someone's obviously phoned already. The minute this siren, now they've got the one on the car. I tell you what, the some of them just went boom into the red brick estate, and just boom, and that gone. And you know what? And I thought, you know what? I wonder if they're the ones carrying knives. I wonder if they're the ones carrying a criminal record. I wonder if they're the ones carrying drugs. Only they're the ones carrying a gun. Because you know what? It was suddenly like a separation. And those that were, they were having an argument over respect and a load of egotistical nonsense. But they stuck around and they sorted it out with the police and the police searched them. But these other guys were gone. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell. It's hard to separate people. In the Church of Christ, there are sheep and goats. And we can't tell who is a sheep or a goat, and it's not for us to judge. That's not the point. The point is, it's easy to live a life thinking we're doing good things for God when we're not. We think we're in the flock, and we're not. You know, we've got to examine our hearts today. We don't want to be religious goats in sheep's clothing. Hey, will you stop going on about being religious? Come on, Mo. We've had enough of it. We're in Matthew 25. We've had 25 chapters of it. Hey, this is the Word of God. Wake up. Jesus, hop on and on about this. You know, you want me to find a different Bible? I don't know of one. This is what he preached on. Wholeheartedness. What's interesting, though, is that both groups, the sheep and the goats here, say, they're both, as you say, what are you talking about, Jesus? They're both actually taken by surprise. The goats, because they think they're doing it. The sheep are just like, really? Well, we were serving you, we were feeding. They didn't even see that that was about Jesus. And this is the fundamental difference between sheep and goats. Sheep don't think about what's in it for them. They just do the good works. They just get on with it. Not looking for praise or recognition, just about their business. Just serve. There's a guy in need there, let me just serve them. Guy hungry there, let me just feed him. Guy naked, let me just give him clothes. You know, how is your serve? That's not a tennis question. How is your serve? I'm loving, guys. Just let me just lift the church up for the help with the ushering. All right? I've been given the responsibility to help with ushering, and I'm putting, you know, calls out. I've got a rota together, and it's just great. It really encourages me to see everybody serving, different Sundays coming in, people welcoming us, encouraging us, opening the door, bringing out the communion stuff. I mean, it really encourages me to see people serving. But you know, that's not enough in and of itself. We've all got to serve. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, showing us that we've all got to wash each other's feet. But how are we doing with serving in other areas where we're just doing it without thinking? We're just spontaneous. There's a need there, let me go meet it. It's a struggle for me. I have godly ambition. I want to serve in God's church. I want to do what's right. But godly ambition and worldly ambition, got to be very careful. And I met with the brothers the other Saturday. By the way, brothers, Saturday morning breakfast. I've had two the last couple of weeks. Fantastic idea. Just encourage you. You get a belly full of food and very spiritually enriching time where you don't mess with family time. I've just had some great breakfast recently. Just that's a free one right there. But, you know, and I shared this. I said to the brothers, I said, you know, sometimes my view of godly ambition, it gets distorted. And they challenged me. They challenged me. And I went away and I studied it. Studied out the fear of God. Really got to try and get to grips. Because as the wife, I'm in any way trying to get any glory because it's going up to heaven. Man, I'm putting myself in God's shoes, in God's place, because that glory belongs to Him. And that's a scary place to be. And that really helped me to go, wow, Mo, you just got to concentrate on humbling yourself. Like John the Baptist, you become less so He can become more. This is my struggle, guys. But I just share that because even in what we're serving, how we're doing it, we've got to check our hearts. A relevant scripture, let's turn to Matthew 18. Are you with me here, guys? I was thinking about getting you to bar if you were, you know, for the sheep or bleat for the goats, but we won't go there today, guys. I'll save that for a Kids Kingdom class. It's the primary school teacher in me, forgive me. We love to make noises and do all that sort of thing. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." You know, the call is to welcome a little child. Okay, I'm just going to pick Psalm up here. Now, children need a lot of attention and a lot of being given to. And this is Psalm. This is my daughter. She's quite taken by this. You know, if we welcome children, we're welcoming Jesus. Now, Psalm can't give anything back to us physically. I mean, there's loads of smiles and warmth, but I can't feed Salmon, and the next day she's going to feed me. There's no way. She's just about sitting up now. She's not really rolling around. But the point that Jesus is making is if we can look after people who can't even give back to us, that's the point. We're not even, our hearts and our minds should be, well, what can I give without any expectation of getting back? Amen. I just wanted to pick her up. You know, the difference for us is that the sheep act out of love. The goats don't even see the opportunity to do so. And you can look at the Good Samaritan who won't turn there now in Luke 10. You know, the priests and the Levites who pass by, they're just goats. They're goats in the parable. They don't even see the need. It doesn't say they looked at the guy, you know, with disdain. They just walked on by. They don't even see, well, can I help them now? I just don't do that. The Samaritan was a sheep in that story. Let's try and be sheep, guys. Let's try and serve. And last point, deeds that meet needs. Deeds that meet needs. We need faith to be saved, guys. It's only the blood of Christ that saves us. But faith, if you look at the Epistle of James, has got to be accompanied by deeds. We can't, our response to Christ can't just be like, well, I've got faith in my head. It's intellectual. I believe in Jesus. There's got to be deeds that respond, that our response to Christ and his blood are shown by. There's much debate in this scripture about where Jesus says, what you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. People debate, well, that could be poor people. That could be just people in the world. It's true, and you can look at it many ways. In our poor talks, we definitely need to talk and focus about helping the poor. I want to just focus on disciples in the church with this one. Because he's saying the least of these brothers. I think we've got to think about this. There's some scriptures there. We'll come back to that. If you just click on one, Joe. I just want to share, we did some stopover. We acted as stopover hosts for Hope Worldwide for about, I don't know, a year or two before we had kids. And these are a couple of the people who came and stayed with us. And this guy, I remember this guy's name was Scott. He was a Brummie, he was a chef, top chef, found himself on the streets. And just totally homeless. And this Hope Worldwide, the charity that Fidelis was talking about, they did this great stopover scheme where you bring people in, look after them, get them back. This other lady, I can't remember her name. She stayed with us for a few nights, I think. If you go on, next slide. This guy on the right was a Romanian guy, I can't remember his name. And this guy on the left was a PhD graduate, like a doctor of something. I can't remember his field. Do you remember? It was neurosurgery or something. Unbelievable. No house, no home. So he was, you know. But I just want to show these, not to lift ourselves up. I do want to lift the work of Hope Worldwide up. But if you can do stopovers, you know, awesome. It's a great opportunity. But I want to lift this up because this was a need, and we meet the need. You know, we can meet the need where it's a direct need. If you click on. Coming back to this point here. You know, are we meeting the needs in the fellowship? When it talks about, actually, people who are strangers inviting them in, the Amplified Version says we should welcome people, entertain them, and lodge them. Like, there's a depth to having people in. You know, if people coming from out of town, disciples, other people coming, are we prepared to just open up our houses? You know, Isaiah 58 verse 7 talks about true fasting. This is what it's about. It's not about being religious and being outwardly, I'm not eating today, I'm observing this. It's actually about sacrificing something of yourself for someone else. You know, we've got to look after other people. I mean, what amazes me in some versions where it says that Jesus says, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I mean, can you imagine being a goat in that scenario? A goat-like person? Someone's actually naked and you don't clothe them. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing to think about this. But we need to have a radical heart where we're not afraid to be seen helping anybody out in fellowship in any way. They might not be in our family group. They might not be in our close group of friends. We can't be cliquey. If we're in the fellowship, we're here in need, let's get in there. Let's not be afraid to disciple one another. You know, anybody here, any mums here, any children born with clothes on? Any children? No. I mean, my children have been clothed by this very church. By the people sat here, my children have been clothed. They were born naked. And people said, you know what? I got clothes for your naked children. Here's some clothes for your child. You know, and I'm so grateful for that. And I love the fellowship and the way that works. But we can do it more and more and more. And many mums, they come in, they see Isaiah, they're like, oh, I remember that shirt. Oh, yeah. And they go, yeah, it's shoes, trousers, shirt, that's all, yeah. They can, like, you know, it's like their own Primark sort of store. But I'm really grateful. What's also interesting is that these, the goats here, and in this parable, a lot of these guys aren't necessarily doing stuff that's evil. It's not like, you know, to pass by, they're not like passing by, like I say, casting stones or beating them up, the Samaritan, or just someone naked and they're laughing at them. They're just not doing anything. And I think for us, if we're, maybe the serving point got you, I don't know, but if we're not really meeting the needs of this fellowship, we've got to step up. You've got to raise your game. Because James 4 verse 17 says, he who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. You're in sin. And so it's not, you know, being impartial, oh, I could help them, I couldn't help them well. That's you're a goat right there. We're stepping into goat territory right there. I love the French law. I don't know the name of it. Maybe Marvin can help me. If you're at a scene of an accident and you pass by without stopping, you can be prosecuted. Princess Diana, when she died in that tunnel, a lot of the journalists who went and took photos, remember that whole situation there? A lot of them, they took them to court because they didn't stop to assist in the accident. I love that heart. You know, the French are very good. There's Medicine Sans Frontières. You go over to all places. This heart of like, we see something, we've got to help out. Let's try and have that heart. Next slide. I don't know if this will come out. It's a homeless guy. I don't know if you see it very well. I just want to ask, if we saw Jesus begging, literally Jesus, would we walk on by? I think the answer for all of us is no way. You know, when we see a beggar, that should be our reaction. Jesus is begging. Jesus is having a tough time here. Let me help him out. I want to show you this painting. I've got a bit of I quite like props. You might know that. I like bringing a prop in. Now, say I was to say to you, you know, what do you think of this? Anyone got any views? What do you think of this painting? I don't mind, you know. Any thoughts? What do you think? Any artists? Any art fans? I know, Dunny, you know, any thoughts? Beautiful flowers? Too basic, maybe? Good. Contemporary, okay, so it's quite modern. Right. Any other thoughts, guys? Bright, you like the bright colours? Okay, good, Linda, yeah? Say again? Friendship, means friendship to you. Oh, very deep, I like that one. Colour. The tone, you like the tone? GCSE words there, can't like that. The frame, it's a nice frame, isn't it? It really brings it out. No, it's true, gotta have a good frame. Well, guys, what if I was to say to you, this is a Van Gogh, early Van Gogh work. What do you think of it now? What do you think of it now? Very expensive. What else? Can I have it, did someone say? They want it. Yeah. I mean, the minute we suddenly start, you know, changing what we know about it and what we think about it. Still a great frame. Still convinced by the frame. Guys, it's not a Van Gogh. It's painted actually by my great grandmother. And it is a very basic picture. We had it up over the fireplace for a while. And Cynthia Holland was my great grandmother around 1935. And it's my dad's mum's mum. And my dad passed on to me, and I just really like it because it was painted actually in the house where my mum and dad first met. They had mutual friends and they met in this house, and that's apparently where she painted it. So it has a bit of meaning for me. Worth probably 10 quid. I don't know what it's worth. It's not Van Gogh, guys, so don't come up at the end and, you know, be careful. But my point is this. You know, if you think about a homeless person as being Jesus, you see a brother or sister in need and see it as Jesus that you're helping. How it changes our perspective. How it changes what we do. If it's the same guy we're going to meet on Judgment Day, gosh, we have a different outlook. You know, Matthew 10, we haven't got time to turn there, verse 40 to 42. Jesus teaches welcoming people is like welcoming him. And if you welcome him, you welcome the Father. Similarly, if people reject you because of your faith, they're rejecting Christ. And we shouldn't feel bad about that. We have to pour out our hearts. People reject that, amen. That's part of the story. And I'll give you this tip. If they don't welcome you, Matthew 10 verse 9 to 15 gives you the excuse to shake the dust off your feet. That's fine as well. But do you treat others as if they were Jesus? Do you meet their needs? Just one more slide. Here's some people in the fellowship that doesn't come up great. There's Ben and Yusuf at the top there. There's Kyle, Marvin and Tari there. There's Funke and Belinda. And there's all the kids there. You know, do you know the needs of some of these people? It might be easy to look at someone who's homeless who comes to your door to do a stopover or someone who's begging. Do you know the needs in the fellowship? Do you know the needs in your family group? Are we getting deep enough in our discipleship, in our relationships, where we're saying, brother, how is your sick relative? How's it going with those exams? How are you doing with that parenting situation? How's your marriage? You know, do we know those needs and are we getting in there to meet them? You know, it's good to remember the warning that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophecy and all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away everything I own, and I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I receive no benefit. You know, for us today, guys, judgment is done by the man with the most love and in the fairest way. Have you got to know that man? Have you got to know Jesus Christ? Secondly, are you serving or are you religious? There's no middle ground in these two cases. You might think you're okay, but are not. Religious behavior is not worth basing your salvation on. Outward appearance. And lastly, deeds must meet needs. Are we looking after each other? Don't at the goat. It's much better to graze with the sheep than blaze with the goats. Thanks for listening, guys. Amen.